Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Coming to you live from Radio Row, by which I mean the row in your console where the radio is. We are not at the Super Bowl, Pete. The Super Bowl is in New Orleans tonight. We're back here in Minnesota. I'm excited, even though, and we'll talk about this as we go, that there is some Super Bowl fatigue. We'll delve into the Super Bowl quite a bit today. But I want to start, Pete, where the Vikings this week. So Kevin O'Connell wins Coach of the Year, which we all expected. And there's a very interesting quote that he said that I thought spoke volumes about both what the Vikings are interested in doing this offseason with Sam Darnold and probably what Sam Darnold is interested in doing. And the quote was, "Darnold has earned the right to really explore what it means to be a Pro Bowl quarterback." By which Kevin O'Connell, I think, means we ain't signing him so he can go get what he wants on the open market. Okay? If you're another NFL team and I'm another NFL team, and I know that Sam Darnold was the hottest ticket in the year and then cooled off at the end. I, as much as I don't think, and we've talked about this, I don't think he should be at the Vikings next year. I don't see any way he doesn't become the highest paid free agent quarterback in the NFL this year. And I think he absolutely deserves every bit of it. I think there's going to be teams lining up to sign him, despite the fact that he dropped off at the end of the year. Especially when you consider the free agent quarterbacks that are out there. I think he's the best one.
No doubt. Dave, I totally agree with you. I think when you see what Sam was able to put together this past year. Now, let's also remember, he had all of the different elements that you'd want and need if you were a quarterback who's going to actually show what you can do, right? I mean, he had great receivers, great tight end. Offensive line, a little suspect probably because of the number of sacks that they committed or allowed to happen. But I think that the reality is, Dave, that there's a couple of teams out there that really need a quarterback pretty badly that could be the next answer for them. And I'm looking right at somebody like the Raiders with Pete Carroll. He's a defensive yep. coach, because he's a defensive coach, he understands everything about the offense, of course, and what quarterbacks that he'd like to not have out there. He'd rather have them on his own team than have to play against them. Yeah. And I think Sam Darnold kind of fits into that category. By the way, they've got a great tight end in Brock Bowers, rookie tight end, set all kinds of records with what he was able to accomplish. You got Jacoby Myers as a receiver. You've got a couple of other receivers that are, I think, pretty standout, very good. So the pieces of the puzzle are there. If there's a problem for the Raiders right now, I think it's at quarterback. I mean, most people probably can't even mention who their quarterbacks are. Gardner Minshew, what do you think of him? Aiden O'Connell, probably not a whole lot. Desmond Ridder, probably not so much. So I think for Sam's sake, they've got room. They've got plenty of room money-wise. I think that would be a great landing spot for him.
So there's a number of teams this offseason that are in the market for quarterbacks. And so the New York Jets are in line. More than likely, I think Aaron Rodgers is done there. Mm-hmm. Cleveland is in line for quarterback. You said the Raiders. The Giants are in line for quarterback. I don't think the Colts, although they're on this list, I don't think they're going to go away from Anthony Richardson yet, nor should they. And he's up against Darnold is up against Justin Fields, Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston, mm-hmm. Joe Flacco, if you want to still consider him a free agent quarterback at this point. I don't either. But so my question too, and I guess I'll put this to our listeners as well on the WCCO talking text line, 651-461-9226. The first and foremost, as a Vikings fan, do you want Sam Darnold here? I say no way. I don't want him here. We're ready. It's JJ's team, JJ McCarthy. The time is now. Give him the ball. He's ready to go. We don't need another. You do not need to invest, and I've said this before, we do not need to invest a large amount of cash into something that is still semi-unknown because he did it for one season. And when the season count, when that really counted, he fell off in those last two games. And you pointed out, you're right, not all his fault. But still, if there's doubt there, don't invest, right? Mm-hmm. But, so do you want him back? And if you're Sam Darnold, where do you want to go? You have your choice here. Yeah. I sure as heck wouldn't want to go back to the Jets again.
No.
Cleveland is always a disaster.
Total disaster. wants out.
Yeah, exactly.
That says it all, right?
Yep. I don't think you want to go back to New York at all. So I agree with you. I think the Raiders are a great fit for him, and they just need someone who will get the job done. And, you know, now will he succeed there like he did in Minnesota? I don't know. But if I'm the Raiders, I'm already on the phone, and I'm already talking to Darnold. And I honestly think, Pete, that the Vikings are like, yep, go ahead. We're good. We're ready to roll without him.
Yeah, it sure seems like that. It feels like that they're ready to move on. And JJ, let's be honest, until JJ got hurt, I think that there was a good argument you could have made that he might have been actually the starting quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings. But it didn't come out that way. Sam did have a great year until the very end. And I still don't blame that on Sam. You know, it's funny because all year I was probably more critical on Sam than a lot of people. But I also see in those final two games, obviously the Detroit game specifically, where I don't know that that was on him. I mean, it was a jailbreak on Sam the last couple of games. And I don't think that they gave him the opportunity to be able to show what he had done earlier in the year. So it would be interesting to see him get matched up there with Pete Carroll and the staff and everything that the Raiders are as a team. I think he'd fit in there. He is not going back to the Jets. I think that would that's not even a chance, nor the Giants.
I'm going to disagree with you just a little bit here because, yes, it was a jailbreak on Sam Darnold. It absolutely was. But Troy Aikman said this during one of the playoff games. I forget which one it is. But he said, if you're a legitimate NFL top five quarterback, you can counteract those things. Like, that's your job, is to be able to thrive in those situations. And he didn't. Mm-hmm. He didn't.
Right.
Whether it was his fault, whether the offensive line, they were terrible, you know, whether guys didn't catch the ball, whatever. But Sam Darnold, in crunch time, when you earn your money, did not get it done. And if you want to be thought of as an elite top five NFL quarterback, you have to be successful in those situations.
And here's where my one argument back to you would be this. I don't think he is top five. So I'm not worried about that. I don't think he's top five. But as far as free agents, he's top one, I would say, right now.
Yes.
And so I look at it a little bit differently, Dave. If you've got all the pieces or many of the pieces except quarterback, I think that's the place Sam Darnold should go. And that's why I think the Raiders is the right fit. But I did not say top five. A lot of people were looking for him MVP even before those last couple of games and all the rest of that. I never even got into that argument either. I think that when you looked around the NFL and you saw some of the numbers from some of the guys who are probably top five, you know, with Joe Burrow and all the rest, Josh Allen, he's not in that category. He's not. He just isn't. But is he top 10? I would say he could be close. Probably 10.
He was this year. And that's... I'm the overreactor. You're the sensible one. And so we play our roles well. I was like, MVP, let's go. Sam VP, you know, like he's in. But it's because you wanted it. You know, like you wanted that story for him. You wanted that closure. I guess it's not closure, but kind of launching off point for him. All that being said, let's just say he does go to the Raiders.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced that he succeeds there like he did in Minnesota.
Well, he doesn't have the crew. You're 100% right about that, Dave. I mean, when you look at what the Minnesota Vikings gave to Sam Darnold, which was, okay, you've got multiple tight ends. Even when we've got guys hurt, we still have good tight ends, very top-end tight ends. Wide receivers, arguably three, maybe the best three in football. And the Raiders don't have any of that. They've got a great tight end, a rookie tight end. Their receivers are good, not great. So it's not the perfect scenario, but it's not too bad either. I think the missing part for the Raiders has been quarterback, and they've just kind of been grinding with the same couple of guys for the last couple of years, and I think that's been part of the problem for them. I think that's where Sam could really be a step up for the Raiders.
Yeah, I mean, they need someone, and even if he wins you a couple more games, at least you win a couple more games, right? That's kind of what it's about for him. I was glad to see Kevin O'Connell win Coach of the Year. I think this was a no-brainer, but I would argue, and I would make this argument, and we'll talk about, because I have this later in the show, we'll talk about Sam Darnold not being Comeback Player of the Year. I have a big problem with that. And I would argue that because I don't think Kevin O'Connell has the year that he has without Sam Darnold under center.
It's probably a good argument you make there. And I'll say this. What's interesting is he's Coach of the Year. All those reasons are right.
Sure.
But he was just as much at fault with some of the play calling. If you're the quarterback whisperer all the way up until the last two games of the season, why weren't we doing shorter? Because of the jailbreak, we did not have time to throw the football. You can't throw those deep balls if that's the case. And we weren't adjusting to that. And so the whisperer, I think, has to be looked at for that as well.
But was that Kevin O'Connell, or was that because the routes weren't there, or was Sam checking out of them? I don't know.
Yeah, a little bit of both probably. And you and I have talked about this, but let's also remember in those final couple games, the defensive backs, they had our guys. They literally locked them down. And whether it was JJ, who's arguably the best receiver in football, they locked him down.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
They did. Well, it is Super Bowl Sunday. We have an awesome, awesome guest lineup today, starting with our next guest at 10:20 here. Ray Hitchcock is going to join us. Ryan Harris, both Super Bowl participants, will join us. Ryan Harris joins us at 11 a.m. And 11:20, Kate Constable is going to join us to talk a little Super Bowl gambling. We had her on last year. She's outstanding. We'll have her on again. Are you a Super Bowl party person or not? Are you a Super Bowl party guy?
Kind of. Yeah, we've had them for the last few years. My wife is really the one. I just follow along, man.
Josh, are you a Super Bowl party guy?
Wherever there's food, I'm there.
That sounds fair. We're going to a Super Bowl party tonight. I've talked about this before, that in my 20 years of television, I always had to work Super Bowl Sunday. So after I got out of television 3 years ago, this was the first time I'd ever had the chance since I left graduate school to have a Super Bowl party. And so we had one. It was exciting, and I love it. So I'm a Super Bowl party person. Everybody's different. I've been to good Super Bowl parties. I've been to terrible Super Bowl parties. We'll talk about that as we sprinkle throughout the show. But coming up next, Ray Hitchcock's going to join us. We're going to talk to him about what it is like to play in the Super Bowl. You're listening to The Huddle.
And here we go. It is Super Bowl Sunday, and we can't be more excited than we are to have Ray Hitchcock joining us. Ray, it's great to have you with us. And I'll tell you what, as a Super Bowl champion, a guy who's got that sweet ring on his finger and all the rest of it, you got to tell us a little bit about what it was like on game day and looking in the locker room and looking across at a guy like Doug Williams, who came in as the backup, and all of a sudden this guy's bringing you to the Super Bowl. What was that whole week like, Ray? What was it?
Peter, great to talk with you guys this morning, and thanks for having me on. I just sit and reflect back on that day and, you know, the opportunity. I think as I've gotten older, you appreciate it more. The fact that we went out, we were playing at the Murph in San Diego, and, you know, an opportunity to play a very good Denver Broncos team. We actually were down 10-0, you know, to start the game. Ended up winning 42-10 was the final. And obviously a once-in-a-lifetime experience, and feel very fortunate to be part of that and part of an organization. You know, that city is a football town, Washington, D.C., now the Commanders, but at the time we were obviously the Redskins, and that city embraced that football team. They were in two Super Bowls earlier in the decade. You know, they won, they beat the Dolphins, and then they lost to the Raiders back 82 and 83. And so to get get back into that. And then they got here in Minneapolis to play in 91. But great organization. Joe Gibbs, obviously, a legendary coach, Hall of Fame coach. And we had good players. We had a lot of older veteran guys. Guys didn't move around. You know, as you know, Peter, they were kind of stuck with the teams, and the free agency aspect of it was not there as much as it is today. And we had, you know, like guys like Dave Butts and Jacoby and Bostic. Timmy Smith was our great tailback for the day. I mean, he had a day that day that was over 230 yards, I think, and just a day of excitement. Halftime, Chubby Checkers.
Yeah,
and so that always adds to the excitement for especially for what it's become. I mean, it's just a huge event. Basically, the whole world stops today to watch football, which is quite an accomplishment for a great league.
And Herb Alpert did the national anthem.
You got it. I mean, we
that
had
was
them
incredible.
All.
I know
we had them all at the Murph in San Diego when it
right.
You know, the great Jack Murphy Stadium where so many great games were played.
So, Ray, you mentioned this, that you were down 10-0 in that game to start before you rattle off 42 unanswered. And I'm curious at what point when you go into the Super Bowl, because there's so much around this. It's a whole week, you know, 2 weeks and all of this. It was 1 week at the time, I think. At what point in the game, in the pomp and circumstance, does it just become a game again? Do you start to say, okay, everything out, let's just play football. This is the same football we played for every week of the regular season and postseason until now. What point did that start to set in?
You know, I think when we spotted them 10, and then all of a sudden we started running the football, and that was really the strength of our team. You know, we had a great in years past, John Riggins. We kind of had tailback by committee. We had the Heisman Trophy winner George Rogers. We had Calvin Bryant, a guy that played in the USFL, and then Timmy Smith was coming out of Texas A&M, I believe, is where he went to college, but he was a first year guy. But, you know, Donnie Warren at tight end, Jacoby at tackle, the old R.C. Thiemann, who used to play for Atlanta for, you know, a long time, was on our roster. And we just had a group of guys that once we started controlling the line of scrimmage up front, and I think that's the key today, is, and that's really just about every game you play, is who's going to control between the tackles. And we were able to do that. Obviously, Doug had a day, but when you're throwing with, you know, to Art Monk and Ricky Sanders, and, you know, there's so many great players that we had on that team, the game just switched, and, you know, all of a sudden it's 28-0, or 28-10, 35-10, and at that point you kind of knew it was over with, and, you know, let the celebration begin.
Ray, I got to tell you, the defense absolutely locked him up. After spotting him 10, as you said, Charles Mann, Dexter Manley, you know, Monty Coleman, Wilbur Marshall. I mean, talk about a loaded both sides, offense and defense. You didn't have, matter of fact, Josh will like this. Todd Bowles was playing for you back then, too.
You bet he was. And Todd was a great player for us. And, you know, we think about the great, he played the three technique with Darryl Grant and Dave Butts in the middle. Basically shut down a very good Denver team that day. But Okowitz, Malott, Monty Coleman, the three backers, great players. And just, you're right, they just shut them down and knew how to win and was just a nice shutout after, like I said, we spotted them 10.
Ray, I'm curious your thoughts on this. The Chiefs are obviously playing for their third straight Super Bowl title.
You bet.
When you look at the time in which you played and you were in the Super Bowl, the teams that were around you and the teams that played before and after, it's a rarity that you saw a team play that many times in a row for the Super Bowl. Now, Denver was there again, but it wasn't always the same teams. It wasn't always the same kind of cast of characters. Is it better or worse for football when you continue to get these same teams, these kind of dynasties that go through?
You know, I've thought about that this week, and, you know, the chance for KC to three-peat today, I think that's a great accomplishment, especially in a sport very difficult to do. You know, in the 80s there, we had the Bears, which, you know, after their 85 season, you thought they were going to rip off two or three of them.
Yeah.
But they didn't. We actually beat them at Soldier Field in Walter Payton's last game in the divisional round to advance to the divisional championship or the conference championship. And it was unbelievably cold. I think it was about 5 below zero at Soldier Field. And Walter, that was his last game ever as a pro. And, you know, we were playing at an age where the Giants were great. The great LT was playing out there. Philly was good with Buddy Ryan. So it was the NFC East kind of had a run on good teams. But there wasn't the, you know, the three in a row or the, you know, where Steelers won four, you know, four of them or five of them. I'm not sure how many they got total. But it's I kind of like it. And I think today's matchup is going to be, as I said earlier, who's going to, you know, who's going to dominate up front in between the tackles. I give the coaching edge to KC. I give the running game and the ability to move the football on the ground to Philly. I mean, I saw a stat where the guys up front, it's 1,688 pounds of beef from tackle to tackle, and a great tailback in Barkley. And has he had a great season? It's just been remarkable to watch. And it'll be I think it's going to be a high scoring game compared to, you know, 2 years ago, 38-35. And it might be down to last possession. But I think if you get the lead and can run the football, that's how you win. So maybe an edge there for Philly.
Ray, I'm gonna throw this out to you. I think Philly takes it going away. And the reason I say that is when you've got Mailata, you've got Dickerson, Juergens, Becton, Johnson, that's like the Hogs that you played with.
Big,
I mean,
dude,
you guys were big. That's why you were the Hogs. But you're talking 6'8", 370, 6'7", 370, 6'6", 330. I mean, these are the biggest human beings. And they're not just big. They're athletic and good.
Yes, so that's a good point, Peter. And they nothing hanging over their belt. They're tall. They're not the, you know, they're built, you know, wide bodies, but they can move physically. They can reach, get to the second level. I think, you know, that could be the, and obviously there's no weather issues, so you're not, you know, a dry field with the being in the Superdome, which, by the way, what a great venue. I think when we think of hosting something like this, it should be at a place like this where the weather is not a factor, and the fans can enjoy it. And, you know, they said, I was just reading earlier this morning, almost $500 million will go into that economy down there just for this football game. And you know, that's great for the state of Louisiana and certainly for the NFL, who has done a good job of, obviously, over the years. This is, you know, the football season doesn't end today. You know, all of a sudden we get into combine, we get into draft, we get into OTAs, we get into mini camps, and we're back in training camp. NFL's been smart because it's a year round product, and you know it's making money. A lot of guys are getting very wealthy doing it, so credit to them.
Ray Hitchcock, thanks so much for joining us this morning and sharing some memories of your time in the
Super
Bowl.
You bet, and we've got Ryan Harris, it sounds like, later on in the morning.
Yep, Ray coached him at Creighton-Durham Hall.
Just a great kid, and happy for him. We were out at the AFC Championship game when they played the Patriots out in Denver before they advanced to the Super Bowl, and happy for him, and he's had a great career, and very proud of him and what he's done.
Ray, thanks so much. Enjoy Super Bowl Sunday, and we appreciate your time.
Thanks, Ray.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Peter. Okay, buddy.
Ray Hitchcock, Super Bowl champion, as well as Minnesota native. We will do the fast break coming up next. You're listening to The Huddle.
Dang right, it's time for the fast break. So,
woo!
You guys excited?
Listen to how
for
excited
this?
I'm so excited.
I did have a theme to today. I usually do like the little bumpers that we use for Adam and Jordana for for their show, and I figured I'd do my own show prep, if you will, for
Look
today's
out.
Show. You ready?
I didn't notice.
Here's our bumpers for the fast breaks.
Okay.
Ready for it? Here we go.
Oh, I thought that was it.
It's the NFL films.
Films?
Music. Come
oh,
on,
that
let's go.
Nice. Oh.
Great
oh, yeah.
job, Josh.
Thank
that
you. Is really good.
I try.
Boy, I'll tell you. You're...
Dave,
you're
I
really
wish you were
it.
Here. He is special. He's got a smile from ear to ear right now.
Oh, he's special, all right. Yeah, we love Josh.
Thanks. Appreciate the vote of confidence. Let's dive into the first one, shall we? We now have our 2025 NFL Hall of Fame class. We'll dive into this more, obviously. It's been announced. The buzz around the league has been one snub, Eli Manning. Just a short answer, because I don't want to ruin a segment. because I did this before you guys sent the rundown. Thanks for that, by the way.
It's all good.
This comes despite leading two wild card Giants teams to a Super Bowl victory over Tom Brady. Somehow, Eli Manning was not a first ballot Hall of Famer. Pete, did they get this one right, or was Eli Manning 100% a snub?
It was totally snubbed. Are you kidding me? I mean, a guy threw for 57,000 yards. 57,000. And you look at his career, the fact that he got to Super Bowls, did everything. I also like the fact that he played at one team, 2004 to 2019, with the New York Giants. Everything about him was class his entire career. He's a great guy, did things the right way, Super Bowl champ. I think this is a 100% snub.
Yeah, I mean, 75,000, what'd you say, 75,000 yards?
Yep.
I
57,000, sorry.
57,000, excuse me, not 75,000. Eli's toughest thing that he had to battle was the fact that he was Peyton Manning's younger brother, right? And so he was constantly compared to Peyton. Peyton was a better quarterback, although he had to, you know, kind of bounce around to get his Super Bowl title. But I, for some reason, and I never understood why, nobody ever gave Eli Manning the respect that I thought he deserved as a quarterback. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, his numbers are comparable to guys like, you know, Joe Namath, Brett Favre, Dan Marino. He's close to those guys. He's fourth in touchdown passes behind Peyton, Favre, and Marino. Well, I don't understand what else you'd have to do to get in the Super Bowl or to get in the Hall of Fame, but I do think it's a huge snub.
Yep.
All right. See, now I got to do more multitasking because I did this dumb NFL music stuff.
Now you got
stuff.
The music.
You look great over there.
Usually, thank you.
See, hard work's not always pounds. Worth it.
Thanks. Dave, here's an interesting one for you. We have a handful of stars in today's Super Bowl matchup. From Travis Kelce to Patrick Mahomes, Saquon Barkley, Jalen Hurts. Without these four, give me your Super Bowl MVP. You can't choose any one of these four.
Oh.
Can I pick Taylor Swift? No.
Yes.
I'll pick the wide receiver for Philly. Is it A.J. Brown? Is that his name?
Yeah.
Brown, right? Yeah, A.J. Brown. I think that kid's incredible to be the size that he is because he is a big guy.
He is big.
And to catch the football, and he's willing to go over the middle. He can stretch the field. I could see this being a game, although I do agree with – I mean, why would I disagree, Pete, with you and Ray Hitchcock? Because – you guys have forgotten more football than I know. This is going to be a running game today. I think you're right, which the edge will go to Saquon Barkley in Philly. But I think if you take all those guys out, A.J. Brown could be the MVP.
Did we take Hurts out? Was he one of the outs?
He's one of the four that you can't choose.
Okay, sorry about that.
Nope, you're good.
He basically took everybody out and said pick somebody else.
Yeah, you know what? It could be somebody just obscure out there like a Dallas Goedert, I think, you know, the tight end.
Yeah.
Because he's a really good tight end, done a great job for Philadelphia now for a long time. He's a Midwestern guy. We got to like that and embrace that. But the tight end is oftentimes overlooked. What if he ends up with 2-3 touchdowns in the game? I mean, Barkley could still get 200 yards. But it still could be come down to the passing yards that they get to A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and, of course, Goddard. So I'm going to go with Goddard.
Well, there you go. Pete, I don't know if you heard this past week, but we did have an MVP named.
Mm.
His name's Josh Allen.
Yes.
You've known him for a while. Mm-hmm. Slept in bunk beds with him probably and whatnot.
I don't remember that.
Out in Wyoming, somewhere in the country.
Where did that come from?
I don't know. Pete says he's known him for a long time, so he's probably.
That's the craziest thing.
There's a large gray area between knowing someone for a long time and sleeping in bunk beds.
We spent too much time cuddling before the show.
I digress.
This past week, we saw him named MVP, beating out Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, and yes, Dave, Baker Mayfield is in that conversation. If you look it up, stats.
No, he's not. He's in your conversation.
Okay, calm down. This is the first time an All-Pro QB was not named MVP in league history. I think they got this one right, Pete, if you ask me. Did the NFL get the MVP nominee right here?
I think they did, and the reason I say that is he's been pushing, but this year was certainly one of the best years that I've ever seen him have. The way he runs the football, and he's as big as a tight end or bigger than any fullback that there is. He's a great quarterback who throws the ball well, only 6 interceptions. I think the only other person that you could possibly look at is Jackson at Baltimore. But I think the reality is that what was Josh to his team? I think he was the MVP. If you lost Josh Allen, you have a problem at Buffalo. You lose Jackson at quarterback for Baltimore, it hurts, but you still got a heck of a running back there in Derrick Henry.
You're right. Other than Amari Cooper, the guys that he had to throw to, they were not the greatest wide receivers ever. You know, I mean, so you're right. You take Josh Allen off that team, and then you have your quarterback is Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah.
Mitch Trubisky ain't doing what Josh Allen did, that's for sure. And so I agree. I think he deserved it. This love for Joe Burrow this year, and I'm going to delve into this later, I don't love him as much as everybody else does. I'll just tease with that.
I like it.
Dave, a Minnesota legend, is making his return to the big stage today. After receiving cancer treatment over the past few months, Randy Moss is returning to NFL Countdown. He was just on about an hour ago. Your thoughts on cancer officially getting mossed?
I'm glad. I'm thrilled that he beat it. I'm thrilled that, it's difficult when you're a public figure of his stature. And my guess is he wanted this to be somewhat private so he could battle it in his own way. It became public. He addressed it. I'm glad for him. You don't wish that on anybody. It's a tough fight. Obviously, you know that, Josh, better than anybody. And so I'm thrilled that he is back. I'm thrilled that he is hopefully has this behind him too.
What I like about it is he's willing to show his emotions and get out there in front of people. I loved him as a player. I thought he was the best receiver I've ever seen. And I know there's an argument for this guy or that guy or, you know, Jerry Rice, whatever. Randy Moss was tall. He was big. He was fast. He had every bit of everything you'd ever want in a wide receiver as a player. And I think his analysis on television is as good as anybody out there. I love listening to him. You know, and he's just a country boy, which makes him so much fun. I mean, that's who he is. People might think different things about him. They're wrong. He's just a great guy who really does reach out and does a lot of wonderful things behind the scenes that nobody knows about. So I'm really excited about the fact that his health looks like it's on the upswing right now.
Yeah, agreed.
One last one real quick, Pete.
Go for it.
Since we're keeping with the NFL awards situation here. By the way, not to Moss's permission was his health issue released to the public. I still have a kind of an issue with that, but whatever.
Which is a real shame.
Yeah.
And without naming names, that annoys the heck out of me. Because when someone's battle is, it's their story to tell, not somebody else's. So whoever leaked that, shame on them.
Yeah.
Because that's the wrong way to do things.
I know we mentioned this guy in the first segment of today, but it's hard to argue for anybody else. I know some people said Dan Quinn, but KOC is officially, Pete, your NFL Coach of the Year. I think we all kind of knew this was coming. Some people have made the argument that Andy Reid should be, that Dan Quinn should be. I don't see either scenario comparing to what KOC was able to pull off this year with the Vikings. Your thoughts?
I think you're probably right, although for me, my money, Dan Campbell, what he's been able to do, I just love the guy. And he started out so bad.
Yeah.
It really did. It did not go well on day one when he was introduced, and he was talking about eating kneecaps and all the rest of it. But there's something about that guy and the way they built that franchise. I don't know how he wouldn't get it. He had an unbelievable year. The Detroit Lions were unstoppable on offense until they were stopped. But it was an amazing year for them, and the Detroit fans, I think, have something really to look forward to over the next 3, 4, 5 years.
Mm.
Listen, we all thought the Vikings were going to have like 4 wins this year.
That's
true. You looked at the schedule,
and they
end up with 14. And so to do what he did with, you know, what Kevin O'Connell did, resurrecting Sam Darnold's career and just making the most of the situation that they're involved in is incredible. Andy Reid is a great coach. Andy Reid also has probably the most athletic and talented quarterback of all time under center and an amazing cast of characters. So that's going to detract from, I think, his argument to try to win it. You just have great players around you. But I think 100% Kevin O'Connell deserved this. He was the coach. I agree with you on Dan Campbell. I always think it's hard to win in Detroit, and he has managed to change the culture there, which is probably the hardest thing to do. Right, you get used to losing. You know, people say you get used to winning. You can get used to losing. You can get in a habit of losing. He comes in and he changes the culture. They obviously got some better players in there as well. But it really is incredible what he has done in Detroit and made them a perennial power now in the NFC North.
And there you have it for your fast breaks. I did have one more question, but I think maybe we can even throw it in the last segment here. So we'll take a break, and then we'll come back and do a few more minutes of that.
All right. Well, you going to tease us with the question?
Yes, I would. Sorry. I'm just
go for
it. You know, my first day. I'm nervous.
Tease the audience here. Coming up next.
What is the best landing spot if they give him permission to leave for Myles Garrett?
Ooh.
I like that. We'll talk about it next. Where will Myles Garrett land this offseason? Garrett saying he wanted to get out of Cleveland. Shocker, who doesn't? Pete, where do you think he's going to go?
I think it's easy. I'm looking around and I'm looking who has room, number one, who's got, you were always looking at salary cap. So it would be one thing just to say any team you want, but they don't have any room at all, right? You can't look at it that way. But I think when I look around and I see the Washington Commanders and what they've got and the fact that they've got their quarterback now, they've got a great running back, they've got phenomenal receivers, they got a really good offensive line. Their defense is fine, but to get Myles Garrett on your defense, I think would be unbelievable and make them even that much better. I think that would be the perfect landing spot. Will it happen? Nothing ever happens that's that easy. But I think as far as on paper, that looks like the best landing spot for him because he wants to get into the Super Bowl, and the only way he's going to get there is to get the heck out of Cleveland.
Vikings fans aren't going to like to hear this, but how about Detroit?
Yeah.
How about Detroit? They got a new D coordinator this year. Aaron Glenn is gone. Kelvin Shepard. Could you imagine what a defensive line would look like with Myles Garrett on one side and Aiden Hutchinson on the other?
That would be scary.
Holy cow. I mean, other than maybe the Vikings, because I do think the Vikings still have the best dual end combination, in certainly in the NFC North, but possibly in the NFC in general. And they're willing. Listen, they're willing to make deals. We know that Detroit will, and so I could definitely see him going to Detroit. Cost wise is already always tough. How do you make it work? Mm-hmm. Here's my off the board. Ready?
Yeah.
Vikings sign Sam Darnold, and then trade him to Cleveland. Mm. Trade him to Cleveland for Myles Garrett.
Huh?
No, it'll never happen.
It's not going to happen.
Zero chance. And they already have too many DNs.
Plus, the math doesn't add up, I don't think.
Well, plus our C-suite is filled with baseball guys. They're never going to go for that.
Yeah.
It's not Moneyball. It's Moneyball is the way they think, and they're not going to do it. Just not going
to happen. What was your team? Pete, I wasn't listening. I was waiting for my turn to talk for your first
nice.
Team. What was your first team name?
You should probably listen to Pete and ignore my stuff. But
you're important, Dave. Don't worry.
Are you saying which team did
which
I
team
pick?
Did you? Yeah.
I said Washington.
Okay.
Washington, yeah.
How about Cincinnati, a team that really could use a defensive boost? And Joe Burrow, Mr. Score 35 points on offense and still lose every game of the season, can't seem to get any defensive help. I think Myles Garrett. Yeah. Depending on the money situation, Cincy, I think that would be a good fit. But
I don't think
that's a Super Bowl contender for you.
They are a Super Bowl contender. Yeah. They need defense. That's 100% great fit. My problem that we have is, do you pay Trey Hendrickson, who's the guy who keeps saying, hey, look, I want to stay here. I want to get my money. Yeah. But that guy has been absolutely a freak show athlete and a great defensive end and seems to be always in that category of being a sack leader. I think that's one of those things where it just can't happen money-wise. If it can, Josh, if they can move that money around at all, I'll tell you what, Cincinnati becomes a much different team right out of the gate.
Green Bay?
Mm. Green Bay? Do they have that kind of room after that signing of the quarterback and everything else?
Yeah, but what was their problem in the playoffs? Like, it wasn't defense.
Yeah.
It was the problem that they faced for the last few years with Jordan
Love. Gutenkurs talks about I was reading something earlier today that he wants more of a pass rush than they have. Mm-hmm. But can they do that? I mean, can they afford it? Do they want to give up draft picks and all that stuff? It's hard. If you're one pass rusher away, I'm always in favor. Go ahead, give up draft picks. But if not, that's no way. I mean, you can't give up draft picks for, like, especially if you need more. And I think Green Bay probably has bigger needs, but never know.
The tough thing about Cincinnati also is they still got to sign both those receivers, right? I mean, so they've got all of that, and then you've got to get Hendrickson, and then what do you do?
If you let T. Higgins go, that's Joe Burrow's not going to be a happy camper.
No, that's going to be bad.
Yeah, that won't be good.
It will not be good. Next hour today, Ryan Harris, is going to join us top of the hour to talk about his Super Bowl experience. Kate Constable, 1120. Talk to us about some Super Bowl gambling. Is winner's fatigue real? And is it affecting the gambling for the Super Bowl? That's next.